So last week we started, or rather we looked at the approach of the Malbim to the question of the brachot. Again, my apologies for my voice. Let's hope it holds out. The Malbim, as opposed to the Ramban does not make a clear distinction between the Birkat Avraham, the blessing of Avraham, which we see in Genesis 28, right before Yaakov goes to Lavan. As opposed to the Ramban, the Malbim sees the two blessings given to the two brothers as distinct, right? Remember, this is starting to come back to you. In other words, Avraham's blessing, Birkat Avraham, is a spiritual blessing, and as such, it cannot be given by a human being, but it can be earned by someone, and then God can give it to him, right? That's the Malbim's approach here. And the Malbim talks about the idea that the blessings which Yitzchak wanted to give to Esav are blessings of physical things, wealth, physical dominion, political dominion, military might, power, plenty, right? And that the reason that Yitzchak gives these blessings to Esav is because he envisions a different kind of relationship between Yaakov and Esav than the one that actually existed. He believed that Esav could be for Yaakov, or rather that Yaakov could be for Esav, as Shevet Levi is for all of Bnei Yisrael, right? That Yaakov would be the spiritual animating force of their joint confederacy, and Esav would be, that is to say, the metaphor he uses is the fruit, and Esav would be the outer kernel of the fruit and the leaves that protect the fruit, and would be the intermediary between Yaakov's descendants as perfect servants of God and the rest of the world. Has this all come back to you, ladies and gentlemen? You remember it.
Is it
And
collaboration?
so he does not give Esav the blessing that he later gives to Yaakov. And the Malbim makes a very persuasive case for this. We spent a lot of time on it last week, so I don't want to go over it again. But the way that he's reading this story makes perfect sense in terms of what Yitzchak is trying to achieve. He's trying to pull Esav into this partnership, which will be beneficial for both. And here I want to remind you also of the Or HaChaim's approach to this, which we talked about 2 weeks ago. Maybe it was 3 weeks ago. The Or HaChaim believes that Yitzchak's purpose in giving the blessings to Esav was to improve him, to fix him, to heal him spiritually. And the Or HaChaim, in fact, believes that it might have worked. That it might have worked. I point this out to say that essentially, the trend that we see in the commentators so far seems to be toward an understanding that Yitzchak doesn't have illusions about Esav's propriety or righteousness or goodness, but he still has hope to transform him, to change him, to make him a better person. Then we moved on from that to the following, which is the Rashi on Hakol Kol Yaakov. Hold on, let me just do that again. I have to do the share. Come on, where is it? Yaakov. Nope, didn't work. Hold on a second. God, Abraham. Yeah, I think I have to reopen that text. I may have opened it. Here it is. Share screen. No, let me close it and open it again. I'm sorry, everybody, but it won't let me do it in a normal fashion. Okay. Oh, it worked. Okay. So we're back here. We were reading through the encounter between Yaakov and his father. I believe that we had gotten as far as Anochi Esav Bechorecha. Okay. And let's remind ourselves again where we are in the story. Yaakov, having been persuaded by Rivka that he should go and take the blessings from his brother, receive them from his father, and essentially steal them from his brother, goes to his father, and his father says, Mi'ata b'ni? Right, who are you, my son? And Yaakov answers, Anochi Esav Bechorecha, Asiti kasher dibalta elai, I am Esav, your firstborn. I have done what you have spoken to me, that which you have spoken to me. And then he invites his father to sit down and to eat. Now, here Rashi notices, or Rashi explains, that Yaakov is essentially trying to technically cleave to the truth. He says that also about the second part of the pasuk, when he says, I have done that which you told me to do, right? The way that Rashi reads this is to say, I have done some things that you have told me to do, meaning he's not saying, I have now done what you asked me to do, which is bring food, because Yitzchak did not ask him, but rather he's trying to make statements that are technically true and not false.
Excuse me,
Built
we
into
don't see.
this,
We don't see the
is the idea that Rashi, I think we talked about this also, I'm just going to remind you, Rashi sees Yaakov as a person who is uncomfortable lying, who's not very good at it, he's uncomfortable in it, and he is,
I don't think you're
trying to
sharing the
avoid,
right screen.
frankly and obviously, lying. I also mentioned the
We don't see your
theory
screen.
I
We don't
have,
see your text.
which again,
We don't see your text.
you know, it's mine. You don't have to buy into it. That I think Yaakov is actually hoping to get caught and to receive the blessing
Simi.
from his father directly.
Simi, we
Okay,
don't
let's
see
go back to
the
the
text.
psukim.
We can't see.
Vayomer Yitzchak el beno, and Yitzchak said to his son, Mazemi ha'otanim tzobani, what is this you have found so quickly, my son? Meaning usually
We
hunting
don't
takes a
see
long
your
time.
text.
How are you back here so soon with this food? Vayomer ki
Yeah,
yikra Hashem
yeah,
Elokecha lefanai. And he said, because Hashem, your Lord, caused it to happen before me. What's Yaakov's answer? Yaakov has disguised his voice. But as we see, he does not disguise his style of thinking. Or rather, he doesn't need to disguise his voice because he sounds like his brother. But he's speaking like Yaakov and not like Esav. Vayomer Yitzchak el Yaakov, and Yitzchak said to Yaakov, Gisha nava amushcha b'ni, draw near, please, and I will touch you, I will stroke you, my son. Remember, that's the thing that Yaakov is afraid of. That's what he tells his mother that he's worried will happen, that Yitzchak, being blind, will touch him, will stroke him. Ata ze b'ni Esav imlo. Is it that you are my son Esav or not? Meaning, Yitzchak is suspicious. And Rashi explains this. Draw near now. Or draw near, please, and I will touch you. Why does Yitzchak, Yaakov perhaps anticipated that when he came into his father's tent, and this is an important moment in the relationship between father and son, but when he comes into his father's tent, his father is going to embrace him, touch him, stroke him. But Yitzchak doesn't do that until Yaakov says, Ki hikra Hashem Elokecha lefanai. Hashem, your Lord, caused it to happen before me. Amar Yitzchak belibo. Yitzchak said in his heart, meaning he said to himself, Ein derech Esav liyot shem shamayim shagur b'fiv. It is not the way of Esav to have the name of God fluent in his mouth. Esav is not the guy who says Baruch Hashem or Be'ezrat Hashem or Todah Lakel. He doesn't seem to talk like that. V'ze amal ki kra Hashem Elokecha. And this one has said, because God, your Lord, caused it to happen before.
Timmy, can you hear us?
Is what arouses Yitzchak's suspicions? He doesn't sound, Yaakov doesn't sound like Esav. He doesn't sound like Esav in his manner of speaking. Now, this is, to my mind, an important point in favor of the idea that Yaakov wants to get. The screen doesn't show the text?
No, we've been trying to tell you.
Why not? That's weird. Let me try it again, everybody. How's that? Can you see it now? Yes, now you can see it?
Yes.
Thank you. Good move using the help sign, because I don't look at chat. Thank you very much. Okay, but you can see it now. When I share it, you can see it. Okay, great. To my mind, if you're really trying to deceive your father, and you really want to deceive your father, what are you going to do? You're going to, as much as possible, mimic your brother's way of speaking. You're not going to say, Baruch Hashem, Be'ezrat Hashem. You're not going to say that. You're going to speak a little gruffly. You're going to speak like Esav the hunter, right? You're not worried about your voice, but manner of speech is a dead giveaway. Speaking gently, where Esav speaks roughly, mentioning God's name, where Esav is unlikely to do that. If you really want to trick your father, you're going to try to mimic your brother's speech patterns. And here again, I believe the answer is that Yaakov wants to get caught. Why does Yaakov want to get caught? Because he's a fundamentally honest person. He, like Esav, wants his father's acknowledgement. And he wants to get the blessings honestly. Because after all, who wants to get the blessings dishonestly? Right? Later, even Esav, we see Esav wants his father's approbation, recognition. This must be extremely painful for Yaakov. Okay, let's keep going. Oh, you can see it now, right? Yes? Okay, great. So let's go back to the psukim. So he comes and he says, you know, come here. I want to see if you're Esav, my son. If not, Vaigash Yaakov el Yitzchak aviv, and Yaakov drew near to Yitzchak his father. Vayimusheu, and he touched him, he stroked him. Vayomer, and he said, Hakol kol Yaakov v'hayadai midei Esav. The voice is the voice of Yaakov, and the arms or the hands are the hands of Esav. V'lohi kiro ki ayu yadav ki idei Esav achiv sirot, and he did not recognize him because his hands were like Esav's hands, hairy, v'ivarchehu, and he blessed him. That's why he blesses him. Okay? How does Rashi understand kol Yaakov? The voice is the voice of Yaakov. Well, it can't mean voice like my voice now, or horse, or your voice, which is your distinctive, vocal signature. Because if it had been Yaakov's voice that tipped him off, he would have heard it as soon as Yaakov spoke when he entered the tent. Rather, kol Yaakov means Shemidaber ilshon tachanunim. He speaks in a language of supplication. Kumna, rise please. Aval Esav Kinturi hadiber, but Esav spoke roughly, complainingly. Yakumavi, my father should arise. Now, again, it's a style. It's a style of speech. Yaakov speaks in a supplicating way. Yaakov's language is very gentle. Esav is rough and gruff. And you have Yitzchak standing before him, a kind of hybrid creature, right? And we think about the symbolism of what's going on here. It's quite poignant. Here's Yaakov standing in front of his father in the guise of Esav, wearing Esav's best clothing, trying to fool him with the goat skins on his hands, answering to Esav's name, right? Yitzchak calls him and he answers as Esav. And yet he can't obliterate who he really is. He can't get rid of, he can't erase the traces of his own personality, his own approach to life, his own being in the presence of his father. And Yitzchak is faced with a dilemma. He senses that there's a hybrid creature here standing before him. He's got to decide if he's going to go with the voice or with the hands. Is it Esau? Is it Yaakov? It's some strange combination of the two. Okay, what is Yaakov's answer to this? Okay. Vayomer, and he said, Yitzchak said, Ata ze b'ni Esav? Are you my son Esav? This is a direct question. This is not something, Yaakov's not going to be able to get away with this. He's got to answer this question. Vayomer ani. I want you to notice the vowels under the vowels in this word ani. Okay? Ani as opposed to ani. You hear the difference? Ani with the emphasis on the aleph. Ani, ani as opposed to ani. You hear it? Okay. Rashi says the following. Lo amar ani Esav, ela ani. He did not say, I am Esav. He said, I am me. Should I explain that again? Okay, so let me explain. I got this from the commentators on Rashi. Kind of figured this out myself. Don't worry. It wasn't that easy. But the commentators on Rashi say the following. When you have I'm not going to go into the grammar of it for the moment because it'll take too long and I don't want to show you examples, but there's a difference between ba'a and ba'a, right? So, there's a difference between ani and ani, ani. Okay. What, Nancy, what were you going to say? I can't hear you. It doesn't matter. Ani means, ani is a one word answer that stands by itself. So if I say ani, if I say to you, you say to me, who's speaking there? And I say ani, right? Maybe in modern Hebrew that works. In biblical Hebrew, it doesn't work. I need to say ani, simi, right? Ani is a one word answer. It's me, or I am me, right? The shift in the mil el mil ra, where the stress is put on the, in the ta'ameh mikra, and the vowel change the meaning of that word. And once again, I think Rashi's pointing us, I don't think this is what he's saying, I think this is what I'm saying. Rashi's pointing us again to the idea that Yaakov is signaling to his father in all sorts of subtle ways, I'm not Esav. I'm Yaakov, and I want to get the blessings as Yaakov. So when his father says to him, Hata ze b'ni es imlo, are you my son Esav or not? Yaakov answers, I'm me. I am me. But again, Yitzchak has to go with this these mixed signals, this confusion. He has to decide what to do with this. He keeps giving the person standing opposite him the opportunity to say that they're not Esav, and that person who clearly sounds like Esav but doesn't sound like Esav, is dressed like Esav but isn't really like Esav, right? That person keeps insisting that he's Esav. Okay, let's go back to the Psukim here. Vayomel, and Yaakov, Yitzchak said, Hagisha li v'ochla mitzed b'ni, serve me and I will eat of my son's hunting, leman tivarechecha nafshi, in order that my soul will bless you, vayigashlo, and vayageshlo, sorry, vayageshlo, he served him, vayochal, and he gave him to eat, vayavelo yayin, and he brought him wine, vayesht, and he drank. Vayomer elav Yitzchak aviv, and Yitzchak his father said to him, Gisha na ushikali b'ni, draw near, please, and kiss me, my son. Again, a terrible, terrible moment for Yaakov, right? Here is Yitzchak asking for an embrace. This is an important moment in his relationship with Esav, or with his son, whoever the son is, right? And he wants to be kissed, and Yaakov does what he does. He goes and he kisses him. Vayigash vayishaklo, and he drew near and he kissed him. Vayarach et reach pekadav, and he smelled the scent of his clothing. Vayivarchehu, and he blessed him. Vayomer, and he said, Re'e reach beni kereach seda asher bercho Hashem. See, the scent of my son is like the scent of a field that God has blessed. And then he gives him the blessing. V'yitein lecha Elokim, yital ha-shamayim, mishmanei ha-aretz, v'rov dagan v'tirosh. He gives him the blessing that is intended for Esav. May the Lord give you, v'yitein lecha Elokim, mital ha-shamayim, mishmanei ha-aretz, from the dew of the heavens and the fat of the land, fats of the land, v'rov dagan v'tirosh, and much grain and grape. Ya'avducha amim, peoples will serve you, v'yishtachavu lecha le'umim, and nations will prostrate themselves to you. Heve gvir la'achecha, you will be master to your brothers. V'yishtachavu lecha b'nei imecha, and the sons of your mother will bow to you. Orerecha arul, those who curse you will be cursed. U'mevarachecha baruch, and those who bless you will be blessed. It's a beautiful blessing, and he gives it to him, having smelled the scent of blessing. Rashi says something brilliant here. Vayarach, and he smelled. V'halo ein reach ra yoter mishetef ha'izim. But isn't it the case that there is no smell worse than the smell of newly washed goatskins? Think about what is in that tent with Yitzchak. Let's stop for a minute and think about that. Rivka has done, this is all taking place in a couple of hours, right? Rivka takes these goats, she slaughters them, she prepares them, she cooks them. She takes the goat skins, which she has not cured, because it takes time to cure animal skins. She takes them straight off the dead animals, rinses off the blood, and fixes them to Yaakov's body. You know what that smells like? Imagine what it smells like. There's nothing that smells worse than untanned goat skins. It's hard to, have you ever smelled a goat? You know, there's nothing that smells worse. And yet Yitzchak says, here the scent of my son is like the scent of my child is like the scent of a field that God has blessed. which is bizarre, right? Okay, so what does Rashi explain here? Rashi says, Ela milamed, but rather this teaches us, Shenichnisa imo reach gan Eden, that the scent of the Garden of Eden entered with Yaakov. Okay, we're going to see, I mean, we're going to look at another indication of this. Whatever Yitzchak is smelling with here, it's not his nose. If you or I were in a room where Yaakov Avinu entered, we would not smell the scent of Gan Eden. Yitzchak Avinu is a man who doesn't see with his eyes because he's blind. And he doesn't smell with his nose. He smells with some other spiritual sense. And as we will see, he doesn't taste with his mouth. Yitzchak Avinu has to follow his spiritual senses in this situation. Okay? Let's go back to the Psukim. Vayhi, kashel kila. By the way, I mean, it really kills me, but we could spend quite a few hours just on this section. And we're not looking at all the Rashis. I've picked out a few of the Rashis. We're not looking at all the Rashis on this piece. Vayhi, kashel kila Yitzchak levarechet Yaakov. And it was when Yitzchak had finished blessing Yaakov. Vayhi, ach yatzol yatza Yaakov me'et pnei Yitzchak aviv. And it was Yaakov had just left from the face of Yitzchak, his father, ve'esav achiv bamitzedo. And Esav, his brother, came from his hunting. Now the phrase yatzo yatza, right, is a doubling of the verb, which generally speaking, in biblical Hebrew means it's an intensifier, right? Mot yumat means he will surely be put to death, right? Or bo yavo, let him surely come, right? The doubling of a verb is an intensifier. But what does yatzo yatza mean? How do you intensify he had left? So Rashi explains, ze yotze v'zeba. This one went out and that one came in. Meaning the timing was split second. Yaakov leaves just in the nick of time. Esav comes in immediately afterwards. This goes back to the first Rashi on the story where Rashi says, why did Yitzchak become blind? What is the purpose of mentioning Yitzchak's blindness? And he gives two answers. One is to connect it to the previous story, which is the wives of Esav. The other is to explain that Yitzchak becomes blind so that he will give Yaakov the brachot. Which leads us once again back to our original question. Why does it have to be this way? Why couldn't Yaakov have been the firstborn? Why does Yaakov have to bargain over the birthright with his brother and trick his father into giving him the blessings? We can begin to understand Yitzchak's perspective in giving the blessings to Yaakov, even though we haven't completely answered that question. We can understand Rivka's reasons for wanting Yaakov to get the brachot. The big question is, why doesn't God want Yaakov to get the brachot? That's the big question, right? Why doesn't God set it up so that this whole charade is not necessary? Okay, so let's keep going. Let me go back to the text. Okay. Now, of course, when Esav, by the way, the only person who walks out of this situation without big questions about his actions is Esav. We may not like Esav. I know some of you like Esav. I don't like Esav, but we may not like Esav. We may not admire his qualities. We may think he's very problematic, But the only person who doesn't do something shady here or problematic here or inexplicable here is Esav. Okay? He's just being himself. So his brother is left. He comes in. Vayas kamhu. Here we are. Vayas kamhu matamim vayavela aviv. And he also had made delicacies. And he brought to his father, Mayomer la'aviv, and he said to his father, Yakum aviv yochal mitzed beno, my father should get up and eat from the hunting of his son, va'avur tivarachani nafshecha, so that your soul will bless me. Mayomer lo Yitzchak aviv, and Yitzchak his father said to him, Miata, who are you? This is a, to my mind, also kind of stunning moment in this story. When Yaakov walks in, Yitzchak says, Mi ata b'ni. He recognizes him as his son. When Esav walks in, after he's already given the blessings to Yaakov, his reaction is, who are you? It's almost like he doesn't recognize Esav at all. And what does Esav say? And here it makes sense to say this. Vayomer, ani bincha b'chocha Esav. I'm your son, your firstborn, Esav. He's actually being asked to identify himself, and he has to use these words. Vayecharad Yitzchak charada gdola ad me'od. And Yitzchak trembled, a very great trembling, shaking, right? Vayomer, mi'efo hu hatzad said vayaveli v'ochal mikol b'terem tavo. Who then, and I'm translating this one way, there are many ways to translate it, but who then is the one who hunting and brought to me? And I ate from all of it. Like I swallowed it all. I ate from all of it before you came. Vavorcheu, and I blessed him. Gam baruch yihye. Also, may he be blessed. Okay. Who came in and took your blessing? Who came in and I ate everything and he blessed me? Who was that? May he also be blessed. Now, I think the character of Yitzchak here is summed up very importantly, and I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but I want to look at the Rashi with you first. Rashi says, Vayecharad, he trembled, kitar gumo tiva, like the Targum says, tiva is like, he was astonished. He was shocked. Shocked, I think, is a better translation. Lashon tmiha, a language of astonishment. Umidrasho, and the Midrash says, notice the language Rashi cites here. Ra'a gehinom p'tucha mitachtav. He saw gehinom opened under Esav's feet. He didn't see that with his eyes. What does he see it with? Some spiritual sense, some spiritual vision. And then we're going to skip the next piece of the Rashi. Va'ochal mikol. And I ate of all of it. Who's that person who brought me the food? And I ate of all of it, right? What does that mean? He ate two kids worth of food? It's hard to picture a robust, healthy, young person finishing that much meat. But rather, Rashi says, Mikol ta'amim shevikashti lit'om ta'amti bo. All the tastes that I wanted to taste, I tasted in that food. What is the Midrash comparing Yaakov's meal to? What gives us all the different tastes?
Man.
The man. Yitzchak is not tasting with his taste buds. He's tasting with some sort of heavenly or spiritual sense of taste. So here we have Yitzchak. He's a man who doesn't smell with his nose and doesn't taste with his mouth and doesn't see with his eyes. He sees and he tastes and he smells with some other spiritual sense. It's not Yitzchak's body that's operating here. It's his neshama, his soul, right? And when he says, so who came in and brought, he's trembling, he's shaking like a leaf, right? Why is he shaking? All of a sudden, he sees Gehinnom under Esav's feet. It's almost like having done what he was supposed to do, which is give the blessing to Yaakov, he all of a sudden he doesn't recognize Esav anymore when Esav walks into the room. And all of a sudden he sees that there's the pit of hell that Esav brings with him wherever he goes. And here, Rashi points out something else that is important. He says, Gam Baruch Yiyah, let him also be blessed. Who tricked me? Let him also be blessed. Shalotomal, so that you will not say, Ilule Sharima Yaakov La'aviv lo natalet abrachot. That if Yaakov had not tricked his father, he would not have taken the blessings. Lechach iskim uvercho mida'ato. Therefore, he agreed and he blessed him with his own full knowledge. Meaning, when Yitzchak realizes that he has in fact blessed the other son, what does he say? Also, may he be blessed. Now, here I think a lot is going on that we need to sum up. And it also leads us into our next piece. We're going to finish one more Rashi after this, but it leads us into our next piece, which is important. All along, we may have made the assumption, many readers make the assumption, that Yitzchak wants to bless Esav because he's his favorite. In point of fact, we've seen other opinions. One opinion is of the Orach Chaim. He wants to bless Esav because he's hoping that will fix him or help him, right? He wants to bless Esav so that Esav, in the Malbim's reading, Esav will be Yaakov's confederate in bringing the idea of God into the world. Okay? Yaakov is very scared, very worried about, before he goes to his father, what he's worried about is being cursed and not blessed. You don't want to be cursed by Yitzchak Aminu. Trust me. Nobody wants to. You may want his blessing, but you certainly don't want his curse. Rivka is not worried about that. Why not? I think the answer is in this pasuk. And I think the answer, I think as Rashi sees it, is very simple. Why does Yitzchak want to give Esav the blessing? Because Esav is the firstborn. That's who he is. Again, we didn't learn all the Rashis, but there are other indications in Rashi to that effect. For Yitzchak Avinu, it's very straightforward. The man who put himself on the altar when his father wanted to sacrifice him to God is a man who lives only to serve God. If God gave the birthright to Esav, what does Yitzchak know? That he has to facilitate that birthright. He has to treat Esav as the firstborn. Going to act in accordance with the fact as God put them in. Is that clear? The same reason. You don't have a big dilemma here, right? Yitzchak knows that God's will is that Esav be the firstborn. How does he know that? Because Esav was born first. Right? It's very simple. And Esav was born first, and God has not told him to do otherwise. And so Rivka knows there's no point in arguing with Yitzchak. He's going to say to her, Esav's the firstborn. That same quality will enable him to say, after the fact, once it's over, oh, Gam Baruch Yihyeh. Also let him be blessed. If I ended up giving him the blessing through whatever trickery he and his mother performed or, right? Then what do I know? What do I, Yitzchak, know? That was God's will. Right? That is Yitzchak's great strength. And maybe someday we can do a course on Yitzchak because I find him the most fascinating of the Avot. Yitzchak is a man whose service of God is almost entirely self-control. That is to say, he's there, he places himself as a pawn on the chessboard for God to move where he wills. My job, says Yitzchak, is to do God's will, and the chips will fall where they may. If Yaakov received the blessing, clearly that's what God wanted. Do I get it? Do I understand? Not necessarily, but that's the way it is. In different Kabbalistic sources, Avraham, if we think of Am Yisrael as a tree, Avraham is the roots, Yitzchak is the trunk, and Yaakov is the crown. What is the job of the trunk? Stand still and convey the nourishment from the soil up to the fruits and the leaves and the branches. Right? If we think of, we could talk about this more. We're not going to talk about Yitzchak now, even though that would be a lot of fun, but we're not going to talk about Yitzchak now. But what we have happening here is he will never curse. He would never have cursed Yaakov, because if he blessed him, that's what God wanted. Let's go now. Again, this is following the approach of Rashi and some of the Midrashim. Mm-hmm. Let's go now back to the text and see what happens in the aftermath. So in the aftermath, what does Esav's response? And here, it's really tragic. You know, you really feel for Esav here. Kishma Esav et divrei aviv. When Esav heard the words of his father, vayitzak tzaka gedola umara ad meod, he cried a very great and bitter cry. Vayomer laaviv. And he said to his father, Bacheni gam ani avi, bless me also, my father. Vayomer, and Yaakov answers, Yitzchak answers, Ba achicha bimirma, your brother came with trickery, vaykach bilchatecha, and he took your blessing. What does Rashi say here? Bimirma, with trickery, bechokhma, with wisdom. What? What's going on over here? So actually Rashi is citing the Targum. The Targum also says, bechokhma, which is bechokhma, with wisdom. And I really had to struggle. I mean, I learned this a long time ago, but one of the Mefarshei Rashi says the following. It's a really, really brilliant insight. If mirma means trickery, then what could Esav say to Yaakov? He stole the blessing. It's stolen. It doesn't belong to him. Give me a blessing. Actually, what Yitzchak is about to say to him is, I can't do anything for you, Esav. If mirma means simply trickery, then it's not a very good answer. When Esav says to him, but give me a blessing, you know, why can't you give me a blessing? Or why can't you reverse that? Or what, right? It's stolen. It doesn't belong to him. So what is Yitzchak saying to him? He did it with wisdom. It's his answer to the, but you should give me a blessing. I can't take it away from him. It belongs to him. So why use the word mirma? Why use the word trickery? Because it was trickery. Of Yitzchak, it certainly was trickery, right? So what's going on over here? So we have a certain tension. What does Yitzchak know about his sons? He knows certain things, but not all things. He knows that Esav is not as righteous as he should be. He knows that Yaakov is more righteous than Esav. But he also knows that Esav is the Bechor and Yaakov is not the Bechor, which means God's will is that he give the blessing to Esav. It's his birthright. What does Yaakov know? Yaakov, more than anybody, knows that Esav doesn't even want the birthright. If the blessing is meant to go with the birthright, Esav has thrown it away. Whether or not we say Yaakov really did buy the birthright, whether or not we say you can buy a birthright, what does Yaakov know? That if Yitzchak knew, truly knew everything, he would understand that the blessing shouldn't go to Esau, which is what he realizes only after the fact. Okay? Why then does he use the word mirmah? Which leads us again back to our question. Why doesn't God just give Yaakov the right to everything as the firstborn? And to answer that question, okay. So let's start by looking at the psukim, actually, which is here on the page. We have to go back to the first encounter between Rivka and Yitzchak. Rivka follows Emet Avraham, Avraham's servant, to go back to marry Yitzchak. V'tzakam Rivka v'narotea v'tirkavna l'agmalim v'telachna acharei ha'ish. And Rivka and her maidservants got up and they rode on the camels and they followed after the man, the servant who has come to find a bride for Yitzchak. Vayikach ha'evet et Rivka v'elach. And the servant took Rivka and he left. And he went. V'yitzchak ba mibo be'er l'chayroi. And Yitzchak was coming from the approach to the Be'er, the well of the living vision. Be'er l'chayroi is the name of the place. V'hu yoshev be'eretz ha'negev. He was living in the south of Eretz Yisrael. V'yitzei Yitzchak l'soach basadeh lifnot arev. And Yitzchak went out. We're going to translate this as to daven, to pray in the field toward evening. There are other ways to translate it. Vayisai inav, and he lifted his eyes. Vayar hine gmalim ba'im. And here, camels were coming. Vatisa rivkate neha, and Rivka lifted her eyes. Vateret Yitzchak, and she saw Yitzchak. Vatipol me'al ha'gamal, and she fell from upon the camel. We're going to see that Midrash explains this. If she had fallen from upon the camel, she would have been badly hurt. So it doesn't mean that literally. Let's go on. Vatomer el ha'eved, and she said to the servant, Mi ha'ish halazeh ha'olech basadeh likratenu? Who is that man who is walking in the field toward us? Now the word halazeh in the meaning of that, or this, appears only twice in Tanakh. Usually the word halazeh means ha'im lazeh. It's a question word. It means, is it for this? But doesn't mean that here. It's used by the brothers when they see Yosef coming from a distance. And they see him coming and they say, Hine ba'al ha'chalomot halazeh. There's that dreamer of dreams coming toward us. That's when they plot to kill him. So the proper way to read this pasuk, if I can get a little dramatic, is mi ha'ish halazeh, is who's that? Right? It's an expression of shock, right? Who's that man? Right? Alarm or strong emotion. She doesn't know who she's seeing. It's strong emotion. And she's like, who is that? Right? Vayomer ha'eved hu adoni. And the servant said, he's my master, meaning your future husband. Vatikach hatzai vatitkas. And she took the veil and she covered herself. Okay. And then the Eved comes and he encounters Yaakov, Yitzchak, and she encounters Yitzchak, and it's all well and good. Okay. Now, the word sa'if appears twice in Tanakh, only twice in Tanakh, which right away is going to make Chazal pay close attention. The word veil appears only in this story and in the Tamar story, as the Midrash will tell us. We also learn from this story that women in the ancient Middle East did not cover their faces. She travels all the way from Mesopotamia with her face uncovered, and only right before she encounters her future husband does she cover her face. And it seems to be a manifestation, just from the psukim, of a certain nervousness or shyness or extreme emotion. Okay, what does the Midrash say here? So the Midrash says the following. Vatisa Rivka Deneh Vateret Yitzchak. Rivka lifted her eyes and she saw Yitzchak. Again, she does not know who she's seeing. She sees him, but she doesn't know who she's seeing. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, Tzafat sheyado shtucha b'tfila. She saw that his arms were outstretched in prayer. Amra, she said, Vadai Adam Gadolhu. She said, certainly he must be a great man. Lechach sha'alalav. That's why she asked him about him. Because they must have passed lots of people. People in the field, people out on their way. She only asks about him. You can imagine that watching Yitzchak Avinu Davin is going to draw your attention. I mean, probably birds are falling out of the sky kind of thing. Okay? So she sees Yitzchak in tefillah and she's like, whoa, who is that? Vatipo me'ala gamal, and she fell from upon the camel. Itrechina, she crouched. It brings a pasuk from Tehillim to explain why it's reading it that way. In other words, she has a startle reaction, right? She crouches, she bends. Not that she literally fell off the camel, but she when she hears that it's her servant, the servant's master, she's certainly taken aback, right? Vatomer el ha'eved, and she said to the servant, Rabbi Chiya amal, Rabbi Chiya said, Ra'ata oto hadur, she saw Yitzchak glorious, v'toha mipanav, and she was wondering in his presence. She's like, whoa, right? Hech ma da'at amal, that is what it says about Yosef, when his brothers see him from afar. Hine ba'al ha'chalomot ha'lazeh ba. Here is that master of dreams. Again, it's a strong emotion. In their case, it's hatred. In her case, it's awe. Right? Okay. Rabbanan amri. Rabbanan say, who feels so no? That she was asking about who was accompanying Yitzchak. Feel so no means his attendant. That is to say, the malach that accompanied him. She sees that Yitzchak is accompanied by an angel. Halazeh. Halazeh. The word halazeh means alone zeh. The other one. Who's the other one who was with that man? Right? She's seeing Yitzchak at a moment where he's not just a guy in the field. Okay? Vayomer ha'eved hu adoni, and the servant said, he is my master. Shtayim hem shenitkasu b'tzaif yaldu ta'omim. There are two who covered themselves with a veil and gave birth to twins. Rivka v'tamal. Okay, so this is a very, very interesting, similarity. It's, again, if we had time to learn the Midrash, it's quite a fascinating Midrash. In what way are Rivka and Tamar similar? But I should point out the only two places the word sa'if, veil, appears in Tanakh is here and with Tamar. And the only two women in Tanakh, total, all the women in Tanakh, the only two women in Tanakh who give birth to twins are Rivka and Tamar. So there's something going on there. Okay, but let's go on. The Yitzchak Ba. Okay, so now we get the Hamek Tavar was clearly inspired by this midrash. Siper katuv ki amechin mitzadei gaver yitbarach. The text tells us that the person, or that the being who, the one who prepares a person's steps, may he be blessed, meaning God, the person who, the being who plans everything out, Siven sheivka Yitzchak b'Rivka baderech, caused it to happen that Yitzchak would meet Rivka on the way. Utehei niv'etet mimenu b'tchilat hakarata oto, and that she would be frightened of him or frightened by him at the beginning of her acquaintance with him. If the servant had come with her first to Avram's house, Haya Avraham mikabla tchila, Avraham would have received her first, umidaber aliba, and would have spoken to her nicely, ad shahaita mitchonen da'ata aleha, till her feelings, I'm going to use feelings here, would have like been calmed down in her, v'lo haita nivetet mipachad Yitzchak, and would not have been frightened, startled by the fear of Yitzchak. V'haita mitnaheget imo kimo kol isha im ba'ala. And she would have conducted herself like every woman with her husband. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu sivev sheYitzchak ba ba'oto et mibo be'er l'chai ro'i. But God caused it to happen that Yitzchak came at that moment from Be'er Lachai Ro'i, Shahaya lo oto, sorry, hang on. Shahaya lo oto makom yuchad letfila v'itbodedut al Be'er shenireh hamalach, which was a special place of prayer and meditation for him on the well that where the angel appeared to Hagar. Vatisa Rivka vateret Yitzchak. Rivka lifts her eyes and she sees Yitzchak. Bodo omed umitpalel, while he was still davening. Vahaya az kimalach Elokim noram od. And he was then like an angel of the Lord, very terrible, terrible in the sense of awe-inspiring. Nora, yirah, full of awe-inspiring. Ukim mevo'al berabba sheraata yadav shtuchot betfila al keni vatam od. As is explained in Breishit Rabba, which we just read, that she saw him with his arms outstretched in prayer, and therefore she was very, like, taken aback. Vatipol me'al hagamal, and she fell from upon the camel, merov pachad ve'ema, from fear and awe. Omnam lo yadami mi mitpachedet, but she didn't know who she was fearful of. Ve'ilu lo haita yoshevet ima eved al gamal echad, and if she had not been sitting with the servant on the same camel, Vaita yoshevet me'achorav, and she had been sitting behind him on another camel, ad sheraato she'achar kach ha'ish holech likrat ha'eved, to the point that she would have seen the man going toward the servant, vo'omed u'midaber imo k'chol adam, speaking to the servant, standing and talking to him like any other person, haitam ta'atam mitkareret, should be mitkareret, she would have calmed down b'toch kach from this, that in learning afterwards who was the man, the fear would have left him, her. In other words, had she encountered Yitzchak in any other manner, she would not have been filled with this awe, this fear, this timidity, this, you know, shock that she felt. But since she was sitting with the servant, and from within her fear, she asked the servant, who is that man? That I am in wonder and fear of. As it explains in Bereishit Rabbah, therefore, when she heard that she was his wife, he was to be her husband. Vatikachat sa'ifat titkas. She took the veil and covered herself, merov pachad ubusha, from fear and shame. Kimo shemevina she'ena ruya liot lo leisha. As though understanding she was not fitting to be his wife. Remember, she's come from Lavan's house. Umeaz vahala nikba beliba pachad. And from then onward, fear was fixed in her heart. The lo haita im Yitzchak kemo Sarah im Avraham v'Rachel im Yaakov. And she was not with Yitzchak as Sarah was with Avraham, and Rachel was with Yaakov. Asher biyot lahem ezek peda lahem lo bosh ledaber etet lifneihem. That if they had some complaint against them, they were not embarrassed to complain or argue with them. Ma she'en kein Rivka, which was not the case with Rivka. The kol ze hakdama la'sibur she'yavo b'parshat Toldot, and all of this is an introduction to the story in Parshat Toldot, which is our parsha, shahayu Yitzchak v'Rivka mechulakim b'deot, that Rivka and Yitzchak had a difference of opinion about their sons. Umikol makom lo matzah Rivka lev lahamid et Yitzchak al da'ata bidvarim nechochim. And even so, Rivka did not find the courage to set Yitzchak straight or to tell him what she thought in straightforward ways. Ki hi yodat ha'emet ki Esav rak tzayin mefim. She knew the truth that Esav was simply hunting him with his mouth. And so it was at the time of the giving the blessings. V'kol ze haya siba mi HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'agiu ha'brachot li'Yaakov davka ba'ofen kazeh. And all of this was so, God caused this, so that the brachot would come to Yaakov davka in this way, specifically in this way. Kasher yivu'ar bimkomo, as will be explained in its place. He doesn't exactly explain it, but I'll tell you what I think is going on here. V'ilo hayta Rivka im isha kemo Sara v'Rachel im ansheihem, lo haya magia b'zeh ha'ofen. If Rivka had been with her husband, as Sara and Rachel were with their husbands, things would not have come in this manner. V'akol b'hashkacha pratit merosh, and all of it was divinely ordained from the beginning, shetagia Rivka liYitzchak b'sha'a shetibahel mimenu, that Rivka would come to Yitzchak at a time when she would be frightened by him. V'yatza achrit davar kefi ritzono yitbarach, and so the end of the story happens as God says. Okay, we're running out of time, so let me just see if I can sum this up. We see, if you keep reading the perek where we left off, Yitzchak obviously loved Rivka very much. It says so in the text, right? He loved Rivka. He was probably a very, very good husband. But Rivka had an excessive respect, a kind of awe and fear of Yitzchak. And so she did not tell him what she knew. Think back. She's pregnant. And who's the first person you would expect her to tell when she's having these frightening symptoms of pregnancy? Her husband, no? She doesn't ask him, what should I do? Who should I consult? What does it mean? She doesn't do that. Out of excessive, there's a distance. The veil is a distance between them. And the distance comes from her side. Why does God want that distance there? And by the way, if we say, the Orach Chaim says, Yitzchak is the one who wants to give the blessings to Esav. And the Malbim says Yitzchak is the one. And Rashi implies that Yitzchak is doing it out of his sense of deen, of God. This is or God. The Netziv fingers God. The Netziv says God wants Yaakov to get the blessings this way. That explains why he's not born first. That explains why Rivka is sort of artificially in a relationship with her husband that is not one where she feels she can communicate with him openly. And I think the answer to the question is this, and I know people have to leave. The Netziv doesn't explain it when we get to the brachot part. I was kind of waiting for him to, he doesn't. I think what the Netziv is implying is as follows, and again, you can reject this theory. God does not want Yaakov to get the birthright as a right. He doesn't want Yaakov to get the blessings because he's entitled to them. He wants Yaakov always to be in a state where he has to earn the privilege of serving God and the blessings that are really intended for Esav. Because otherwise, who would Yaakov be? There would be no check. There would be no balance. There would be no guilt. Yaakov has to live with an awareness that he took something from his brother and he better be very sure that he deserves it. He has to know that his position has to be earned over and over and over again. And here I just want to show you in the blessing of Esav, what Yitzchak sort of puts a failsafe in here. He says the following. Okay. Esav says, bless me also, my father. And Yitzchak says, I can't give you the blessings. I've already given everything to your brother, and I've made you subordinate to him, which means you're his servant, which means anything I bless you is going to be his. But what does he say, finally, when Esav weeps, right? Barcheni gam ani avi, bless me also, my father. Esav lifts his voice and he weeps. And Yitzchak, his father, answered him, here, from the fat of the land will be your dwelling place, and the dew of the heavens above, and you will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother, and it will be when you will rule, we'll come to that in a minute, ufaragta ulo me'altzavarecha, you will throw off his yoke from upon your shoulders. What does Rashi say? Bayaka shel tarid lishon sa'ar, kimo arid besichi. It's a language expressive of suffering. Kloma, which is to say, kishayavru Yisrael al ha-Torah, when Israel will violate the Torah, v'yelecha pitron peli itzta'er al ha-brachot shenatal, and you will have a right to be upset about the blessings that he took, ufaragta ulo me'al tzavarecha, you will throw his yoke off from upon your shoulders. In other words, Yaakov is vulnerable when he throws off the yoke of Torah, the yoke of heaven, because then Esav has a legitimate complaint. Why does he deserve the blessings more than I do? God doesn't want Yaakov to be the master race. That's what the Nazis thought, right? The Nazis thought, we deserve everything. We're the masters. We're the greatest. We're the most important. God wants Yaakov to be the chosen people. Your chosenness is something that you have to earn over and over again. And if you go back to the Malbim, nobody can give Yaakov the Birkat Avraham, right? The blessing of Avraham, as the Malbim understands it, is something you have to earn. So God does not want Yaakov to feel entitled. And there's a lot more we could say about that, but we'll stop here and we can pick up on this. Any questions before I shut down my throat?
Yeah, I have a question.
Any questions?
I have a question. Hello?
Okay. We can revisit this. We can revisit this next week.
I have questions.
You can raise them next week. And we can start with those questions, and then we're going to do Birkat Avraham. What is the story with Birkat Avraham? Okay, Lila, not Lila Tov. Have a nice day, and bye-bye.